Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, final hour of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, present and accounted for as we give you our best for the next 60 minutes, then turn over to the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7. You don't have to do a thing.
Sup? That's right.
Sup, playa?
All good in the neighborhood, right?
So, yeah.
Strohs.
Mm-hmm.
Not so good. But, I mean, those losses are going to happen, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the offense didn't happen yesterday. I see people wanting to blame the bullpen. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't score, you can't win. That's how sports works.
Yeah, pretty much. Thanks, Clyde. I mean, the bottom line is, great performance by Gerrit Cole again. Breaks the franchise records for strikeouts before the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. Is knotted in a scoreless tie, and it's amazing how things change and how quickly they change. Last year's darling in Brad Peacock comes in and gives it up, gives up a home run to Piscotty, and Piscotty also gets the kind of duck snort spinning hit that gets the second run in for the A's. And again, the Astros had a chance in the ninth against a closer that's really good, as you've highlighted. Came in, got two on, brought the winning run to the plate, just couldn't get it done. Gattis couldn't get it done.
No, and I can't help but think this now when I'm watching the lineup and I'm seeing Kyle Tucker come to the plate. He's only had 10 at-bats. He's got the one hit. But I start to, in my mind, and I don't know if you're doing this already, but I'm starting to think, I wonder if this is another Bregman. Remember Bregman went like 2 for 35 or 2 for 40 or something god awful like that?
I said yesterday he started the season 0 for 18.
Yeah, and still ended up like 2. Yeah, but he ended up hitting well. But you wonder that the further on that this kid goes without doing much production, is how much harder is he going to press, similar to what Bregman did? And you also have to wonder, is Bregman kind of in his ear like, hey, it's going to come. You're a hitter. You're a professional hitter. Don't worry about it. And I'm sure other guys are coaching that, but I'm sure a lot of them are just leaving him alone because he's trying to absorb so much. But this is also, somebody had asked the other day, was this why bring him up now? This is kind of why, because he can get some experience at the big league level. And then during the All-Star break, he can look at some video and, okay, this is what I need to work on. Or he can talk to the hitting coach and have some time to spend going over game plans and approaches to the plate and stuff like that. And it buys him a little more time. So,
no, I'm with you. And I think you're right. I think that's, again, and we talk about the togetherness, and Blummer talks about all the time how tight this team is and how well they get along. That's one of the things that can help this kid as he settles in is a guy like Bregman to say, look at me, you know, I should be exhibit A for you to realize it's not the end of the world if it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. It's going to come.
And then I'm sure Derek Fisher does the same thing. No.
Nowhere to be found.
Maybe not? Okay.
Nowhere to be found.
Was that a bug bite?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Just asking. And then after the game, Cole goes on bereavement leave. And I think when we started the show, I couldn't find out if there was any information as to who might have passed. But with him going on bereavement leave, your boy Jake Marisnyk is brought back up.
Mm-hmm. Immediately, right?
Yeah, right. So he's back with the club. I expect he'll be on the bench tonight.
Right. Good news is Astros still have a 3-game lead in the West. They're 6-4 over the last 10, which isn't great, but that's going to happen. If you take out that Rays series where, for whatever reason, they just looked god-awful. This is a team that's been playing well over the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
No, they had one stinker of a series against the Rays.
But where are you then on the never-ending topic of the bullpen? Because Peacock gives up the home run last night. I know there's a lot of people that say that they just don't have confidence. Creighton went off on Twitter the other night when Will Harris came in the game, that he just has to go right to the Pepto, and it just freaks him out, he stresses out anytime Will Harris is in the game. I mean, it's crazy. These two guys that we talk about in the last year, I mean, Will Harris was an all-star. Peacock was arguably your best starter last year for the whole season and long reliever, and things change.
Well, it's funny because I look at it similar to the way I do with Ken Giles, where if you look at what Ken Giles has done for the year, he had a couple of bad outings where it was like 4 runs or 3 runs. But the rest of his outings, he was giving up 0. So his numbers, his ERA looks bad. And if you just look at that, then you think, oh, well, God, Ken Giles sucks. He had a 4 ERA, or he's got a 4.11 ERA. But when you give up 7 runs in 2 innings, it takes a long time and a lot of outings to get that ERA down. And just to get it to a 4 means you had to have a lot of outings where you didn't give up any runs. And never mind the fact that he hasn't blown a save. So I think you have to kind of take what these guys are doing and keep it in perspective as what are they doing, you know, over the last month or couple of months, and what are they doing in between? Because everybody's going to have a blow up outing. Everybody,
sure.
Justin Verlander got lit up, had one of his worst starts.
Whitley just did in the minors about a week ago, 2 weeks before he got hurt.
Verlander had a really bad outing not too long ago. Nobody's panicking on that. So everybody's going to have those blow up moments. You just have to kind of look at, how does it, like, if you look at Will Smith, all right, Will Harris, don't look at Will Smith, he's not a very good pitcher. Will Harris in April had a 180 ERA. Mm-hmm. That's great. In May he had a 6, and in June he had a 5. So you look at that and you go, yeah, that's really bad, right? In June, that 6 ERA, he had 10 innings pitched, he gave up 6 earned runs, 5 of those came in 2 of his outings. And he had a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, like over almost 15 outings in June. So of the all the earned runs that he gave up, they came in 2 outings. So again, that's what you have to look at is, he got scored upon, but it was in 2 games. Outside of those 2 games, is June.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good June.
And you can go back and forth on this. The biggest thing is that you can say from a Verlander perspective, look, his track record, his resume states, look, you should have the utmost confidence in Justin Verlander, but we can go back and forth on Ken Giles all you want. It's that trust factor. It's that trust factor, like, you know, I always say I don't trust him. I don't feel confident with him. I obviously feel more confidence in Rondon than I do in Ken Giles. And you can go back and forth, bringing some of the examples you bring. He came in a game with a big lead the other night and gave up a home run right away. And that kind of leads me to that uneasy feeling when he comes into games. But overall,
well, let me ask you this. So I'll give you an example for Ken Giles in May. He had a 7.88 ERA. He had 10 outings. 2 of those outings, he gave up 4 runs and 3 runs. The other 8 outings, 0. So would you rather have 1 or 2 blow-up games a month or spread out 7 and 8 runs over 8 games? Then you've got a problem.
But if you're a bona fide closer if you're the guys that close games for the Yankees and the Red Sox, we can just go down the list, all-star caliber closers, I don't think you have those blow-ups once or twice a month.
I totally agree with that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is sometimes if you look at numbers and it's such a what have you done.
I get it.
When Ken Giles comes in and pitches a scoreless inning, no one goes, man, there's the Ken Giles that we know. They don't say anything. And when he gives up 4 runs, then the sky is falling and everyone freaks out. And if that happens, you know, a couple times in a month, people tend to panic, but never mind the 8 outings where he, you know, shut the other team down and didn't give up any runs. So it's kind of, you got to have some sort of balance, I think, where you objectively look at it. But I do agree with you, and I think we both are in agreement that this team needs a lockdown.
That's where
Rondon has done a good job of now, that. So far, you can count on him.
Where I was going with it, too, is it, do they just need one, or do they need a couple at the back end?
No, I think you just need one guy. You need one guy that you know.
You need that definitive closer.
You need that lockdown. Like no matter, you need a Billy Wagner. Mm-hmm. Remember Billy? You knew when Billy Wagner got the ball that this game was over. Mm-hmm. Now once every 15 outings,
that's what I'm saying. Yep.
Then he would blow a save and it would be one run or whatever. But right now, yeah, I mean you can't count on these guys because they're not being consistent. But I think more often than not, if you look at Ken Giles, 8 out of every 10 outings, he does well.
I think even with Rondon, if Rondon's the closer for the Reds, for a middle-of-the-road team maybe too, you're like, yeah, he's better than average. You know, he might
have
a couple.
He's got experience doing it.
Yeah, and he's got experience. But if you're a championship-caliber team like the Astros, I don't think you can have that kind of lack of trust factor or uneasiness when you go to what should be a shut-the-door kind of situation for your closer.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, but take for example, saves leader in the AL, Edwin Diaz. Mm-hmm. His May, he had a 5 ERA. I mean, he had one game where he gave up 4 and runs, so it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But the difference is he's also got a 1.88 ERA for the month of June. Ken Giles isn't doing that,
right?
So he's having 2 or 3 blow up innings every month.
All right, Astros back on the diamond tonight as they go for game 2 of the 4-game series against the Oakland Athletics. I believe I had it. Who's on the hill tonight?
Let me pull up the schedule for you real quick.
Verlander. Justin Verlander and Sean Manaea tonight.
Yes.
Good matchup right down there at Minute Maid Park. So that's going on. I do want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for a long time. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned, operated. They want to be your electricity provider, and they want to make sure that they are 100% honest. And that means even if you have an opportunity to get to a different business that gives you a cheaper rate, they're going to tell you about that because, like a trusted friend, you can expect honesty from them at all times without exception. When you call, you're not going to get an automated system. You're going to get a human being. That person's going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Are you a business? Is it for your family? And et cetera, until they figure out the best rate, the best plan, and the best overall outlook for you with them and Infuse Energy. You can call them at 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or you can log on to infuseenergy.com. If you call or you're online, mention ESPN 97.5, you immediately get a $25 bill credit, and the process goes from there. They use 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up and choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint. And like I said, they're going to be honest with you. They're going to talk to you. In the middle of your contract with them, you might have issues or things that pop up. Call them. Work your way through it. They're going to do their best to accommodate you because they want to be your long-term energy provider. They are Houston-owned and operated. They are affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1, final hour of the show. Then we'll turn it over to Fred A.J. Jong and the Blitz. And if you want to meet the Blitz in person, you can do so this Thursday. They're going to be right here in the Galleria location.
Hyatt Regency.
Of the Hyatt Regency. Brian Ching, the ex-Dynamo player, is going to be joining them. So you can mark your calendars for a happy hour at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria on Thursday.
I liked this Justin Verlander tweet about that All-Star voting. Chris Archer had sent out a tweet about his buddy, his teammate Blake Snell, getting snubbed and making it in Verlander. And he basically, Chris Archer's point was shame on baseball players and the people that voted within Major League Baseball for not including Blake Snell. And Verlander responded to that tweet and said, also, it's because we vote way too early. I could easily punch in, or you could easily punch in our votes on an iPad a couple days before instead of the old school envelope weeks before. So they're still doing this via paper and envelope.
How about bad is that?
Pretty bad, especially since fans can vote on the internet. Why wouldn't you have a website for players and baseball people to vote, or have something at the station where they can vote? That doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
It makes no sense at all. And I'm told that other leagues also still do their voting via like the paper vote or in the locker room where they pass around the ballots. And it's like, come on.
Just do like Parliament. Just sit there and yell out their vote in between the clubhouse. And then the majority
gets
the
club vote. iPads and their laptops, with the amount of time they spent traveling, they have one of the three, if not multiples. It'd be pretty easy just a week before the balloting has to close, just say, okay, guys, just, you know, on your next road trip or whatever, I need 5 minutes, 10 minutes of your time, and just knock it out.
Yeah, or baseball could send like a kiosk or an iPad, and everybody can just, all right, I'm Justin Verlander, this is my vote, put that on an iPad if you don't want to create a website. But it's not that hard. I mean, the worst thing, I would imagine that all these guys have some sort of login on website for their benefits and stuff through baseball.
You would think, right? With the NBA, too, that's why when they always, now that they want to be more transparent and they put all the people that got votes for the all-NBA teams and the deep, you know, all this, and inevitably, it never fails that some guys have the F you, I don't care mentality, and they vote for guys like Joe Chi for Defensive Player of the Year. You know, guys that, random guys that you're like, what the?
Yeah.
And they got one vote. They got three votes.
Yeah.
And they think they're just being funny, but they're actually taking votes away that could be the difference between deciding maybe first team and second team all NBA or even more significant
people
possibly.
That deserve it. Somebody texted and said, I can't believe you're defending Giles. He might be the least clutch person alive. I know I have the reputation for defending Giles, but
you
I think
Giles defender though, kinda.
Yeah, and that's fine.
It's
and
not a bad thing.
I'll own that. But I mean I still said and still say and have been saying all season that they still need to go out and get a lockdown closer. So I'm certainly not suggesting that Ken Giles is Rick Ankiel. I mean, he's got his moments where he has a blow up outing. The problem is unlike other relievers who have one or two a month every 3 months, he's having one or two every month, and it exacerbates the issue.
I think if he had a secondary pitch that was better than average, or that was more consistent. I think his slider can be. When his slider's on, he can be exactly what you want him to be, what all of Astros Nation wants him to be. But more times than not, I think he struggles with the location of his slider, and he doesn't have one of those heavy or deep fastballs. He gets it up to 100 miles an hour, but it kind of sits in one spot. You know, the kid last night for Oakland, Blummer was constantly talking about the depth of his fastball, how quickly it got on the hitters, how it had movement to it, even though it was still coming in at a high rate of speed. I think kind of like I look at McCullers, right? He has the killer curveball. He's got a better than average fastball. And lately, since he's been mixing in that changeup and he's been consistent with it, he's really taken it to another level, and he's more consistent and he's more effective. That's what I'm looking at Giles saying, God, if you could just, I know you believe and you've got that wonder arm that can bring it 100, but if there was just a way to perfect even one more pitch or really polish the slider that you have, I think it'd go a long way with him.
Somebody texted and said, would it be worth paying Capella what Adams makes? I'm assuming Steven Adams.
Mm-hmm. Who got a fairly big
Both deal. Have similar stats, but I think maybe the Thunder overpaid. That was from Mitch.
Okay, Mitch.
Yeah.
What did Adams get? Do y'all remember off the top?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
He's working on a four-year, $100 million contract, so he's getting $25 a year.
And Capella's not worth that yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think based on his tenure in the league, and I told you this, Nick, the one day when we were looking at it, the max Clint can get, I believe, is 4 and like 21. I think that's the max he can get is 21 a year for 4 years or 84 million.
You did mention 26. I want to say 5, 6.
Or maybe it was 26. Maybe it was 26 because I was looking at it at the time that when everybody was talking about, and you and I were going back and forth on how much he could possibly get. I think the max he could get is between 21 and 26. But you know, If he's being realistic and Nurkic got 4 and 48 and he thinks he's worthy more of 20 a year, which 4 and 80, based on the competitive salaries, and we're paying Ryan Anderson $20 million, You don't think Clint Capela's worth 20 mil?
Yeah.
For the next four?
The dangerous
that
part
puts him ahead of Joakim Noah and behind Tristan Thompson.
And I think that's fine.
Okay.
I think the dangerous about looking at Ryan Anderson, the reason why he even got that 20 mil is based on potential, because he did have, in terms of an offensive standpoint, he had way better numbers than Clint Capela for more than one season in his career. I think that's where the $20 million price point came from with Ryan Anderson. So I think it's just a dangerous person for Clint to look at and say, look, if Ryan Anderson is scoring 3 or 4 points a game and making $21 million, why can't I? But it was based on, a lot of it was based, someone else made a bad decision to give him that contract, and then the Rockets.
So Barry brought this up
today.
Dumb
enough to take it, you know what I mean?
So. I brought this up in the past. The biggest thing you think about with Clint Capela, because he's not Steven Adams offensively. Steven Adams looks like a big clunky guy. Steven Adams gets it done on the offensive end.
Yeah.
Clint's not that guy. And Barry referenced it today. Clint, I've said in the past, Chris Paul made Tyson Chandler and DeAndre Jordan $100 million players. With alley-oops, with give-and-goes, with high pick-and-rolls, with all those things. If Clint Capela signs with, say, Atlanta for 4 and 80, okay? Clint Capela is going to take a huge step back offensively, Nick, to your point about how many points a game he gets. Because instead of James Harden and Chris Paul hitting him in the sweet spots where he likes the ball and above the rim and getting all that and playing at that rate of speed where he can run up and down the floor and clean up missed shots, you're playing with Trae Young, who is a shoot-first point guard, and he shoots a lot, his high volume of shots. You're playing with a bunch of young guys who don't, even if they wanted to play the Rocket style, wouldn't be able to execute it. Your numbers are going to go through the basement, and people are going to be like, you're a max player?
Well, not only that, I mean, he's playing with two guys that, and three guys with Eric Gordon, too, that can, you have to respect them mm-hmm. when they play that pick and roll, because James can score. So that's why it works, is people have to come off, roll off during that pick and roll and guard James at the rim, which opens up the easy bucket for Clint Capela. So it's totally true. He's a system guy, and he looks better because of the guys that he's plays with. I'm with you. I said, and I stick with, I think when we were talking one day in our production meetings, where you guys were going back and forth about it, and I think somewhere between 15 and 20 a year is probably what he's worth.
I think so, too. And look.
And what was their offer?
4 and 48.
So they offered 12. Him 12.
12 years.
But again, it's kind of low-ballish. But when you go in and ask for a salary, you ask for more than you want so you can get to the point where you want to be. And the same is true the other way around.
Right,
when a company makes you an offer, they lowball you, because if they can get you for that number, they're going to take it.
It's just negotiating. If you're Daryl Morey, you walk in the room and go, if you think you're worth that, go get it.
Yeah, if Clint Capela really got his feelings hurt, then he doesn't understand negotiating in business.
And he has to ask himself the question, do you really believe that the event that you go to Atlanta or another team, will you produce the same numbers? Because if you are a system guy, then you're going to want to stay with the Rockets. That way, after this contract is over, you're going to make even more money.
Yeah.
But if you go to Atlanta and you turn out to be a system guy and you don't fit in their system, you're probably never going to make that money again.
And winning has a value, too.
That's right.
You're looked at as a successful center and a winner when you put up the record that they're putting up, too, when he's playing here. So, yeah. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got a half hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere as we have 30 minutes on the clock, and we'll take you up till 4. Blitz will take you home till 7. SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard the man, and you know how we like to do it here on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. It's time, all the time, to be paying attention, because we play the name game around here where we call two names. If one of those years is your name and you call in and you're the first to identify yourself with to have that name, you would win a prize. Today's prize was a $50 gift certificate to Prime Social Poker Club. You hear about us, hear about it all the time across our platforms here. People talking about doing live remotes from Prime Social Poker Club. You can take your game to the next level in a comfortable, upscale setting with full-service restaurant and bar. It's the best poker in town. It was a $50 gift certificate to Prime Social that was given away today on the bench. And today's winner was Blake. He was the first caller. Congratulations, Blake. You got that $50 gift card to Prime Social. Listen every day to all the shows, and you will, I'm sure, get a chance to be the person to play the name game because we continue to play it right here every day, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's right. A couple of texts. First one was, is Dez ever going to be signed?
That's a good question.
I saw something the other day that talked about him potentially landing with the Niners, which makes the most sense.
Does it? Why?
Well, I mean, they still need help at receiver. You got a young Garoppolo. You got a veteran receiver that could, I mean, he's not that he's the most friendliest of guys, but a guy that I think you can count on running his routes. And I think he still has some value. He's certainly not the best, you know, he's certainly not where he used to be, but as a second or third option in a passing game
with Jimmy Garoppolo
with a young quarterback, I think he has some value.
I mean,
so it makes sense.
Is he probably going to have to resort to like a one year deal because he thought he was going to get that big deal and he didn't?
Like approve it.
Well, that's what he wants. He wants a 1 year big money deal like what's my man Alshon Jeffries that went to Philadelphia last year. Alshon Jeffries signed, I think, a 1 year $17 million deal, proved he was worth it. You know, bet on himself, got an extension and a long-term deal based on it. So Baltimore came to him early on in the process and said, Dez, we'll give you multiple years, but it's more of a, in his mind, a bargain rate. He turned it down. I think he wants that 1 year in the right system with a decent quarterback to prove I still got it. Like Barry said, I run my routes. I'm athletic. I'm bigger than most outside. I can pull the ball down with good hands. And then he'll want the payday.
Yeah.
It's just, as you get closer and closer to camp, teams have already filled the slots. The draft's already passed now. Teams are banking on, you know, whether it be their savvy moves early in the offseason or who they drafted. I mean, I look at the Packers, and I thought he would, that for a one-year deal, catch balls from Aaron Rodgers. You know, Jordy Nelson went away. You could get in there, get in a winning program, get with a guy that delivers you the football. You do everything you're supposed to do, and whether you come back there or not, you're going to up your value. So maybe San Francisco is a good landing spot. Maybe Barry's right. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo has shown no signs of taking a step backwards. That's for sure.
No, I think he's the new ringy dingy. Him and Deshaun Watson are guys that people are looking at going, man, these could be serious. I was reading some article on ESPN where they said, who's the big surprise in each division? Or who has the potential to be the biggest surprise? And three of the four in the AFC South, three of the four writers, so it was Deshaun Watson in the AFC South. So I think, you know, I didn't look at where Garoppolo was in his, but I would imagine that's one of those guys. I mean, he has that same mystique about him now based on the small sample size that we have of him. So, I mean, a team like the Texans, I it could make sense too, but I think they're past that. I think they're moving on. He'll land with somebody, especially once camps start. So there's going to be a receiver that gets hurt, and that's going to increase the odds of him landing somewhere. So
yeah, I mean, look, and from a D-Hop perspective, hats off, number 13 in the top 100 on the NFL Network for where he sits in terms of all players. He actually was very, very gracious in the way he handled it. He said, sure, I'd like to be in the top five. I'd like to be in the top 10. But being the 13th best player in this league is saying something. And I think that he has proven he's taken it to another level. He's now got a quarterback he believes in that obviously everybody sees a lot of potential in. But you still have to look at that other side and say, in order for D-Hop to be D-Hop, you got to take pressure off of him with other guys in your system. Braxton Miller can't stay healthy, and he really hasn't proven himself. We know Will Fuller's got blazing speed, and everybody knows what to question. It's his hands. So, but I agree with you. If they were going to make a move, especially with a move significant to the standpoint of saying Dez Bryant's coming here, from the locker room and the team and the camaraderie and the chemistry and the system, a new system, he would have, I think in my mind, he already would have had to have been here in the Texans case with a young quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody said, any way that someone can buy the three of you a beer? It's a good question.
Lots of one of our remotes.
Yeah, when a remote. Yeah. But, Nick, it's tough because you're never on those remotes.
No. Yeah. I go to some. I go there sometimes before and after the show, but.
Just depending on the remote and how far and all that.
Yeah, and if I'm in the mood. Or...
I do want to say shout out to Tex. He, out of the kindness of his heart, gave money to a charity on my behalf, which I thought was very nice. And he asked me what was my charity of choice. And I told him St. Jude's or the Progeria Research Foundation, because my wife is really passionate about that. And to see those kids is pretty heartbreaking if you never... You know what Progeria is? It's where the kids... It's kind of like Benjamin Button's, but reverse, like the kids age really, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll be 7 years old, but they'll be 70 years old age-wise. And there's there's so few occurrences of that the research and the money spent... I'm trying to figure out.
It's limited.
Yeah, so she's always championed that. So I kind of saying I used to really champion the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation.
Sure,
but they kind of got too big and stopped spending money on the important stuff and started focusing on the marketing. And you can always look up and see what a charity does with their money. But so St. Jude's has a great reputation, as does the Progeria Research Foundation. So. Appreciate you, Tex. Thank you for doing that. And as far as the beer goes to the texter, yeah, just catch us at a remote. That's usually the easiest way. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what was the, when we were at Rudy's Barbecue out in Tomball?
Rudy's.
That would have been a place or when we do a lot of our remotes, for sure.
Yep.
We'd love to see and talk to you, regardless of whether you buy us a beer or not.
Indeed. Come out.
I had something and I lost it. Ian Rappaport, getting back to that Shady McCoy story.
Uh-huh.
Reporting that the Milton, Georgia police said there was a home invasion late last night involving a victim whose friend then accused LaShawn McCoy of domestic violence. McCoy adamantly denies the accusation. They responded to a home invasion at a residence. The preliminary investigation indicates that this residence was specifically targeted by the suspect or suspects, not a random incident. When officers arrived, they found one victim who had been physically assaulted by a lone intruder. During the altercation, the suspect demanded specific items from the victim. An adult female victim was treated and released from the hospital. A second adult female victim also sustained minor injuries during the incident. Detectives are continuing their investigation.
Hmm. The plot thickens.
So are they saying that either he was the guy that broke in, he paid someone to do it?
I doubt he went OJ style, allegedly.
You never know.
That's interesting. The plot thickens for sure.
Definitely something that we're going to have to follow. And again, based on the Reuben Foster situation, no one should be passing judgment today, but it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. So, all right. Well, we got one segment to go in the big show, boys. We're starting to run out of time. So, yeah, that means we'll try and finish strong in the next break and then turn it over to the Blitz. I do want to tell you right now about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time. Mattress Mac and his staff do a fantastic job at any of the three locations. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria area, and, of course, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. Regardless of which one of the three locations you choose, same great deals, same incredible customer service, and same... exact promises that they make in their marketing campaigns, they will execute when you buy furniture from Gallery. That means there's no back order slips. What you see is what you're going to get, and you're going to get it rapidly. If you buy today, you get it within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time, delivered right to your house. The delivery people are great. They are cordial. They are respectful, and they are helpful. If you want them to move furniture around and rearrange things, they'll do it. If you want them to take some stuff away, they'll also do that because they want you to be happy, because they want you to return to Gallery Furniture. Same thing with the finance department. If there are ways they can help assist you in your payments, they'll happily do that as well. And again, all American-made solid wood furniture for every room in your house, for brands like Stickley, whether it's leather or upholstered, for your man cave, to your bedroom, to any room in between, they have the furniture, they will deliver quickly, and it'll last a lifetime or at least a long time because it's American-made quality wood, solid wood furniture. They're still doing the Astros promotion. If you're interested in that, buy today. And if the Astros win it all at the end of the season, you get it all. That means $3,000 or more worth of bedroom furniture like Tempur-Pedic. If the Astros win it again, you get it all for free. That's just the way Mac likes to make a little fun of it and take care of Houstonians. So check them out, because the other thing that he says is exactly what they're going to do. Gallery really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show. Been fun. Hopefully you've been entertained along the way on your busy business day or wherever you are out and about. We know you're not in the parental pickup line, as we are in the midst of...
School's out for summer.
Thank you, Alice Cooper.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
I saw earlier, it was on the Steve Harvey show on our TV, which okay. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Nick does a horrible job of DJing the TV.
You asked me to put it on the World Cup.
Horrible job I put it on of the DJing World Cup. The TV. The World Cup has been over.
In Nick's defense, he did what you asked. He put on the World Cup.
Still, when you call us and request a song to a radio station, which nobody does anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
I mean, on a music station, I would imagine, no?
People still call and make requests?
They don't?
Remember when they had the top five at nine or whatever, and people used to vote every night?
I remember. Remember when you probably don't remember this, Nick, but do you remember trying to record all your favorite songs off of the radio?
Big time.
And then you couldn't get the damn DJ to shut up, yep. And they would talk over the intro of the song
They did it purposely. They did it purposely.
Did they? So you couldn't
In a lot
get
of
them?
Ways, so you couldn't. So you had to go out and buy the record or the CD
radio
or the tape.
Radio guys are such a-holes. Anyways, when you would request a song, they didn't just play the one song and then that was it. So DJ Nick on the TV over here. Anyways, back to this. So this is the Steve Harvey show. And he had Tyler Perry on, which popped the question up in my head. Have you ever seen a Tyler Perry movie?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen.
But he's produced a lot more than he's been.
What's her name?
Too.
The
Madea?
Madea. I saw parts of Madea. Funny. Yeah.
You watched a Madea movie?
I saw parts of it.
I've never seen a Madea movie.
There's probably two or three that I like.
Really?
Yeah. He was a guy
which
too.
Which one?
There was like a Christmas one, and then there was
Madea
like
Goes to Camp. Oh, that was Ernest. Ernest Goes to Camp. Never mind.
Oh my God, what a blast from the past. I totally forgot about that guy.
Right? I feel like Madea and Ernest. And
what was the other guy?
Kind of did the same things, right? Like it's Ernest Halloween, and then there was like Madea Trick or Treat or Boo, or I don't know what the hell it was.
Wasn't there Mr. Bean too, or something like that?
Oh, that's not the same. Well, I guess it kind of is.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, he's a guy that actually a lot of people doubted in the industry, like in the movie industry, and like got trashed.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very wealthy man for his success, yeah.
And he's kind of done okay for him.
I feel like Ice Cube and Madea, they just need to, like Tyler Perry, let Madea buys a barbershop and then just quit both series. Just stop making them. There needs to be no more Madea movies, no more barbershop movies. Madea buys a barbershop on Friday, all of it's over with.
You would think you would say something like that about the Fast and the Furious before that.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
They're on number 10, right? Or have they made? I lost count.
They're
about to be a number 10, or they're working on a number 10, right?
Have you watched
that
all
long
of them?
Of the series? Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's like 9 or 10.
I want to say it's 9 or 10.
I've
probably watched 5 or 6 of them.
They kept old boy alive like through
through
movies.
Like a hologram something.
Yeah, through holograms and stuff for like over a
like
movie.
Tupac?
Yeah, what's his name?
Paul Walker.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Because he died in the middle of that movie. In the middle of
yeah,
the making of
it. Yeah,
that
I remember that.
Because there was a couple where The Rock and Vin Diesel were verbally scuffling about, like, were they on time on the set? And they had all little nitpicky things with each other.
You couldn't tell it's computer generated, but if you went back and watched it two or three times, you can kind of see, like, if you
Does he
He doesn't know.
Not like
glitch?
Max Headroom.
Is there a glitch? Like, no. Remember in Star Wars when R2-D2 is projecting the hologram of Princess Leia? Settle down, dorks.
See what you did there.
Remember that? Is it like that where it just cuts in and out real quick? Like he's in the driver's seat.
No, you can just tell.
And then like the next second he's on the hood of the car, then he's back in the driver's seat again real quick. No?
You could just kind of, like I felt like I could tell from the way he was looking, like the way he was staring in one spot.
Oh, wow. Like he was always had the same expression on his face through the whole movie.
I thought you were going to like my Max Headroom reference. That
was pretty
that was
decent.
A blast.
Yeah, Max Headroom was, that's a good pull.
He was big for a while.
Yeah. Max Headroom?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask.
You don't know who Max Headroom is?
You'll just have to Google it.
Idiot.
I didn't say that. I just said Google.
I'm Googling it.
Right now. By the way, kid, real quick, just plug it. I just picked up this gig on the way to work, but tonight, if you're on the north side of town, Jive Bar and Lounge, I'll be headlining the show I think it starts at 10.
Is that a
so
new
it's
comedy club?
Late.
Jive
no.
Bar?
Yeah, Jive Bar and That's Lounge. Different. It's a bar on Luetta. And I've performed there before, but Clinton Shorter.
So it's
Shorter.
A bar, not comedy specific 24/7, but
no, it's a bar, but then they have comedy night every Tuesday night. And they usually, once a month, I think the first Tuesday or second Tuesday of the month, they have a headliner instead of just a regular like open mic. So they Clinton Shorter reached out and said, hey, can you come close out the show tonight? I said, sure, I'm free. So Jive Bar and Lounge on Luetta, come out if you're on the north side.
That's cool.
I mean, I'm not expecting anybody to drive from like, you know, Clear Lake to 45 North and Luetta. But if you're on the north side and got nothing to do on a Tuesday night at 10 o'clock or 10:30 or whatever, come out.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Steve Harvey and the whole Tyler Perry thing. I think Tyler Perry is the executive producer of this reality show with this guy that I want to say is like a preacher. But his daughter, who's now on the Steve Harvey show, their whole family's on the Steve Harvey show doing some game. His Chandler Parsons dated his daughter.
Dated Tyler Perry's daughter?
No, no. This
Steve
family,
Harvey's daughter.
What is this family? This family, it's a white family from the South, and they have like a reality show.
Oh, yeah. And he's, yeah, I know who you're talking
boy,
about.
Boy, the daughter, you can see why Chandler Parsons, why she's on is the that, Chandler list.
Does that, she's got
Chandler's
a weave.
List?
That's, she's got a weave in.
I don't know that.
I'm like, yeah, that's a thing now. White girls and weaves.
White I think girls that's just weaves, a thing across which, girls. Everything's fake. Eyelashes, hair.
Yeah, but there, a lot of white girls are getting weaves, which is weird when you watch a white girl itch her head with one finger. Like, that's not supposed to happen.
Or get the tattooed eyebrow. That's I'm a big fan of that.
Tattooed
like
eyebrows?
That? Yeah, and you can't tell that there's no hair there?
I don't want
no
natural
there?
Eyebrow. Shave your eyebrow and then put that massive hoop or curve that you
yeah,
put on your
you're kidding
forehead.
Now. You have to.
Some girls... Like they're not artists because when they try to draw their eyebrows on, it's just a mess.
They're doing it themselves?
Yes.
Yeah.
Every
wrong?
Day.
Oh,
yeah. And they'll pluck out what they have and then draw the rest. Like literally they'll be bald. No
right.
eyebrows.
But here's
at all,
the thing. Your eyebrows are not that time to be creatively creating a certain kind of shape line.
You know what they
don't
need?
Don't do that.
They need a pattern. Like, you need to be able to go to, like, a facial specialist, an eyebrow specialist, and they'll be like, all right, this is where your eyebrows are supposed to be. And then kind of like a pattern where you can just put it on your forehead.
Like a stencil?
Yeah, and then just draw it and color it in, and then you peel it off, and boom, your eyebrows. It doesn't look like you're like, oh, my God! Like, they're too high on the forehead.
Lisa
or too
and I were
low,
watching the weekend news
match.
On some station or another, and it's like, she's permanently angry because she tried to get yeah. creative with the shape, and her eyebrows are, like, pointing downward, looking like she's constantly ticked off.
Yeah, boy. I feel bad for women.
But
to
if
have
you
to
shave it all,
like
you shave your entire eyebrow off and then you paint over it and then the hair grows back and then you pluck it. Wouldn't it like remove a piece of that paint that's on your skin too? Like when you pluck the hair?
No. You're thinking of tattooing. I'm like they do that every day.
That's
like
crazy.
They get in the shower and it washes off and now they're just bald up there.
I'm so happy to be a dude.
But my question is,
I'm going to start drawing in chest hair.
Do they grow back?
Like filling it
and
in.
And how fast?
Yeah, they grow back.
Because I see a lot of ladies that have been doing it. It's like after a certain amount of time, do they just, unlike when they say, like, don't shave your chest because it'll come back double or whatever they say. But for like the eyebrows, it looks like you shave them and they don't come, they start not coming back as fast.
It's hair. It's hair. It's like any hair. It grows back. I have one gray eyebrow that I have to pluck about every 3 months, 2 months, because it just comes back and it's just this big, long gray hair over my left eye in the eyebrow. It's weird.
I got one in my, not in my forehead, but like right at the tip, and it just
yeah,
you know, like Barry's chest hair,
you know, yeah.
You probably have a long nose hair, like that one long nose hair.
I get them and I yank them,
yeah, but I pluck my ears.
Oh, I inherited that from my dad, ears and nose. Yeah. Oh, I'm like, I cuss him sometimes.
Honest to God, though, Nick, you don't have to worry about this yet, but the worst, the absolute, like you talk about one, when you get gray pubic hair, it's over.
I'm going to be so angry that
it
happened.
It sucks.
How depressing is that?
Yeah, I've got like 7 or 8 of them.
Really?
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, no.
Dang. That's,
yeah. It's pretty depressing.
Have you ever considered dyeing it?
No.
Don't
I just
lie.
Shave.
Don't lie.
I just manscape and just get rid of it all. Then you can't tell. But yeah, if I let it go too long, I've noticed now I have gray hair down there.
That's crazy.
That's the ultimate in old man. Wow. Sucks. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, that'll do it for a Tuesday. Hey, way back Wednesday, still don't have a topic. I guess you can suggest things to us, and we'll make a decision between now and showtime
Songs
tomorrow.
Songs you want playing at your funeral. I think we should do it.
I'm okay with that.
2007 or before.
Songs you want playing at your funeral, Nick. Yes. Siri can't help you with this one.
That's right. You can pick whatever you want. Songs you want playing at your funeral prior to 2008. Remember, we bumped it up now to be older than 10 years.
Nick's so, not happy because he's got to put a little more work into this one.
All right.
Y'all the ones that y'all are going to be rushing home.
I'm not happy with it because I got to put more work into it. But yeah, I get it.
I think that's that. Does that work for
you? All
right,
we'll do that. That's fine. All right. Songs that we would have played at our funeral tomorrow for Way Back Wednesday. Hopefully we'll keep it upbeat. I don't know. But in the meantime, Fred, AJ, John, and the Blitz are next. They'll take you home till 7 on Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.